Right, I want to greet you all this morning in Jesus' precious name again. It's a blessing to be here with you all. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning, Lord, and we thank you, God, for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for your wisdom, Father, and your sharing yourself with us, Father, if we'll just hear your words. Lord, we ask that you'd fill us with your Spirit, Lord, that you would open our eyes, Lord. Lord, that you would help us to be faithful to you, Lord. Again, we just thank you for all you do for us. Lord, we just ask your wisdom, Father, as we open your word. Again, we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I want to open our Bibles to Micah. Chapter 6. Micah chapter 6 and verse 6. How shall I come to understand the Lord and devote myself to the Most High God? Shall I reach him with burnt offerings, with year-old calves? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, or with a myriad of streams of oil? Should I give my firstborn for my ungodliness, the fruit of my body, for the sin of my soul? He has shown you. I just want to answer some of these questions, or just the kind of obvious, you know, there's a man that's seeking after God. And, you know, we kind of have a privilege today of having the Bible and everything laid out for us. Throughout history, that's not been the case. It's only something that's happened basically for the last 500 or 600 years, actually, that we've had a Bible, that we have everything right at our fingertips. You know, for thousands of years in Christianity, they had pieces here and there, and sometimes they got a chance to look at it, and then before that, the Old Testament, they had the Old Testament, and that's all they had. But that didn't stop men from seeking after God. They still sought after him. You know, and even with all of the religion, there's still people that just seek after God. And, you know, it's kind of a lot of times religion parallels. You know, they have a lot of similarities, and it's kind of hard to discern. But he's asking these questions. You know, here's a time whenever people were religious, and God, basically, they went to worship him at a temple, and every year they had to offer a sacrifice. And they would give a certain portion of everything they made because it was required of them. And so here's someone that, how shall I come to understand the Lord and devote myself to the Most High God? And then he asks these questions. Shall I come with him, year-old calves, the prime? Shall I give him the, you know, the best steer in the pen? Shall I offer that as a sacrifice to him? Is that how I'm going to come to him? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams? Or, well, a myriad of streams of oil? Will that, can I buy God, in other words, with everything that I have? Will that please him? will I give my children away for my body, for the sins of my soul? He has shown you, he goes on to say, O man, what is good, or what does the Lord seek from you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to be ready to walk with the Lord your God. You know, in reality, look at the simplicity of things. You know, people pick up the Bible and they want to know about God, and it's so confusing and they don't understand, and people write books and give long, big answers of how and why and how to get to God. But here, Micah breaks it down. It says, Oh man, what is good, or what does the Lord seek from you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to be ready to walk with the Lord your God. You know, it's the simplicity of that. It's sometimes we just make it so difficult what God really wants from us. You know, we've talked about the will and the voice, and you know, about surrendering our will, and I think that's what a lot of the Bible shows us, is where our will is going against God. And that's how we learn to walk with Him. To do justly. That's just to do what's right. You know, whenever we have problems come up, just do what's right. And sometimes that's just pretty difficult. That's where our selfishness gets involved, and our pride or whatever. But just to do what's right, and then to love mercy. You know, here is the one that we usually fail on as religion, with religion, is loving mercy. You know, we that came from the world, basically, and just went to church and was taught that all you do is ask God to forgive you and you're saved, and you basically, you know, you don't come to church drunk, or you don't do something, you know, I don't even know what it would take to be removed from a modern church, you know, other than just causing all kinds of problem, or just telling them the truth. That usually works pretty good too, to get excommunicated or get kicked out. It's just being honest, transparent. You know, there's a difference between telling the truth. You can jump up and tell the truth and make everybody mad, and you know, that's telling the truth, but that's not really just, is it? And that's not very merciful. But you can just be honest. You can just be transparent. And there's just something about that drives religious people completely crazy. They just cannot handle just someone being honest. Just someone being open and being transparent. Just telling people, you know, sometimes you share your shortcomings with people, and boy, I tell you what, religious people get their notebooks out and write it all down. And 2 years later, whenever something else comes up, they bring their notebook out and tell you all your weaknesses again, and just pile that up. That is not mercy. Okay? That is not how you learn how to walk with God. That is not how you find God. That is purity religion. And you know, you line the two up, and a lot of times they look very similar. You know, we're doing the same things. But when you look at some of these simple things, that what God depicts as someone actually walking with Him and the other, they are miles apart. You know, some people say, well, why can't we just all get along? Well, you know, we can do the same things and say the same things, but if you don't love mercy and you're not transparent, those two are diametrically opposed from the pride and arrogance that's in religion. They don't work. It'll never fit together. You know, it's a tragedy that sometimes there's things happen, you know, about people who say they say believe the same things. But sometimes it's just a couple of little things like this. You know, if it was just something like, you know, well, you know, we'll dress different or we'll do all kinds of things. We'll jump kind of, you know, we could all do that. But when it comes down to these things that really matter to God, it ain't gonna happen. I just remember times, you know, that whenever I started following the Lord, and I was just so happy just to follow the Lord, just to realize that I'd been forgiven and just been a part of Him, and my wife didn't like it. I mean, it was, and you know, we were trying to talk things over and basically came that, you know, it didn't really matter what I was going to do. She knew my heart was in a different place and there was no reconciling. She was honest enough just to realize that the Lord had my heart and she didn't to that extent. And I offered her the world. I said, you can have whatever you want. I'll do whatever you want. I don't want you to leave. That wasn't good enough because there was that little thing that just my heart wasn't completely hers. It was the Lord's. And that was, and it's just hard to see all of that, but that's, you know, thought about it and seen it and lived through it for years, but that was the heart of the problem. And she would have told you that. So what I'm saying is that's why sometimes it seems like we walk alone. Because it's a lot of those little things that there's parallels. You know, you even see it in politics. You see it in everything. There's parallels of people just trying to do what's right in political things and people that are just about, you know, and they say they want all the same things. But one of them is trying to bring you into bondage and one of them is trying to set you free. And that's the same way it is with religion. Oh man, what is good, or what does the Lord seek from you but to do justly, to love mercy. You know, going back again, that love mercy. Whenever we started, the Bible started opening up to us and we started seeing what God really wanted. How He wanted us to obey Him. And how He wanted us to maybe dress different. Maybe, you know, just change some things. That's another area where there's a parallel. There's a couple of different ways we can do that. In Corinthians, it talks about how God loves a cheerful giver. The song we sang, the verse that said the sacrifices that He desires not, but that the humble prayer and that just the different attitudes. And that the verse, like I said, in Corinthians, that, you know, God loves a cheerful giver. And we can take that, and He's talking about money in that place, but I want to take it to another level, a cheerful giver-upper of our will. He wants us to cheerfully. We want to do these things not because we're in trouble, but this is the Lord's will. And I want to happily do it. You know, when someone first finds this, these things, it's not a law and it's not a legal thing, and there's no threat of doom hanging over our heads. We just see what the Lord wants, and we just are a cheerful giver of ourselves. Oh, that's what the Lord wants. I want to do it. And we just put our will wholly into it. And then you see people saying and doing the same thing, but there's this gloom, this darkness, and there's, this is so hard to do. It's worlds apart in the difference. It's the difference between life and death. It's between darkness and light, and those two do not fit together. You know, we associate sometimes being strict as being religious, but strictness is not what God's about. That strictness turns into severity, which is exactly opposite of what was that word we were saying a while ago? Mercy. You see how the differences? Saying and doing the same thing, but that one little word there just goes two different paths, 180 degrees, the different directions. Mercy. You know, and it's pretty hard for us sometimes. We come from just complete lawlessness or in religion, do whatever you want. I'm saved because Jesus died, to seeing what the Bible says. And so you try to say, well, we got to do this. Let's do this. And so you look for people to work together. And if the tendency is to try to tighten things up a little bit. And so we do that. We've done that. Kind of try to tighten things up. And people start kind of getting together, and everybody kind of likes that. They like that tightening up, that strictness, that tightening up. And it kind of, you know, it kind of falls in. Hey, this is looking pretty religious. We're being pretty strict here. And so we kind of, that makes us feel comfortable. It makes us feel safe that we're in something that's tightened up, you know. Kind of keeps us bound up. But then you drop that little word mercy in there. And you drop transparency in there. It just doesn't work. That's what you can't forget, though. I'd rather forget all the rest of it and have these things. You know, I'm not talking lawlessness, but this is what the Lord requires: to do justly, to do what's right, and to love mercy. You know, that's why, you know, whenever it's not hard to forgive people when you love mercy, you know. They do things wrong, and you don't want to get burned again, so you kind of keep you learn to stay away. Not because you're wanting to revenge or anything like that. You just know what they're of. And you don't want any part of that. You love mercy. That's why whenever someone fails and they just change. You don't have to have them stand up in church and lash them 50 times because they failed. Put them out or whatever. When someone's changed, the debt is erased. And you're just back together again. And there's no amount of jumping through hoops will ever get you there other than when someone that's forgiven, you know, we have trouble with forgiveness because we remember. And I'm not talking about remembering. I remember what they've done to me. We know what they did. But there's that heart that loves mercy above whatever anybody else might have done. And it leaves that door open, not seeking any vengeance at all, but that mercy that I'm just going to stand here. We sing the song, that gate that stands ajar for me. What kind of gate do we have open for others? Or do we lock it up tight? Not forgive, not forget. I got hurt. They did me wrong. And I'm never going to forget it. Love, mercy. And you don't have to, that doesn't mean you just got to go out and beg them to repent of what they've done. It's you just have that in your heart to where forgiveness is, doesn't even have to be asked for. It's just a look. It's just a friendliness. It's just a, I dropped it. It's gone. To love mercy. Oh man, what is good? Or what does the Lord seek from you but to do justly and to love mercy? And to be ready to walk with the Lord your God. And there's the will we were talking about last week. Be ready to walk with the Lord your God. To be ready to do anything He would ask of you. Not, I hope He don't ask that. Well, that's probably where He's headed. Because that's the only thing that God wants from you is the thing you won't give Him. Because that's where your will is. That's where your greedy little fingers are wrapped around your heart. And you won't give it up. Whether it's forgiveness, whether it's a possession, whether it's just doing something. Being ready to walk with the Lord. And that's in King James says humility, to humbly walk with your God, but to be ready. That's the sense of humility. Is to be ready to walk with God. Ready to go. Ready to stay. Ready my part to fill. Place to fill. Doing what God wants. You know, sometimes things change, things happen. You know, we've lived in different times. Sometimes there's a time you need to go. Sometimes there's a time you need to stay. Just, you know, religion just says, I'm going to do this, boom, boom, boom. I'm not going to quit. Because it's just religion. But walking with God sometimes means stop. Okay, now walk. Now run. Now wait. And we're ready to do whatever. Ready thy will to do. What a blessing that is. James has chapter 1. I'm going to read here chapter 1, I'm going to read 19 and 20. This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. This, I think, keeping this in a very religious context. Everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. I mean, it goes in all of our life, but let's look at this as he's talking to religious people. Because that should be a big part of our lives. Quick to hear. You know, when someone gives us a little counsel, a little, what do? We're quick to bristle. We're quick. And sometimes even when you're the one telling it, you know, I give advice to someone, or people give advice to someone, and they don't listen, we're quick to bristle. You know what that is? That's just thinking way too much of yourself and your advice. If you get mad when someone don't listen to your advice, or you have a hammer to drive on them, you know, I don't know how many times that's the big rule in a lot of churches. If you don't listen to the elders, bam! That's because somebody thinks their advice and their counsel's way up here. You know, a person that Jesus, whenever he told someone strong advice or good advice and they didn't listen, you know what he did? He dropped the hammer on them and just, no he didn't. He walked away. He was sorrowful. He didn't, you know, he knew what was going to happen. He knew the decision was going to be bad. But he didn't say, listen to me, I'm somebody. That's not what he did. So quick to hear, slow to speak. And that they go real close together, you know, but being quick to hear. And when we do speak, you know, think it through and give the person the love to make their own decision. Slow to speak, quick to hear, and slow to anger. They both tie up. They didn't hear me. I'm upset. That's what he's talking about. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. And that's why I brought it to the context of being religious. Because this happens so often in religion. You don't listen to somebody and they get mad. And that's the anger, the context of the anger we're talking about here. And then it says, therefore, putting aside all filthiness like that, and all that remains of wickedness, like that, and humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your soul. To prove yourselves doers of the word, and not merely hearers that delude themselves. And here, you know, people take a lot of pride in their doing the word of God. But then, where the Lord tells us how to do it, do right, do mercy, and love mercy. Boy, they didn't hear that part. That's where that mirror comes in. Of doing, not just the outside parts that you hear and see, but the real hard part, love mercy. For if anyone's a hearer of the word, not a doer, he's a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he is. But the one who looks intently at the perfect law of liberty and abides in it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in all he does. If anyone thinks himself to be religious, see, look who he's talking to here. We read this and we think of the world and us. But he's talking to people in the church that think that they're religious and appear to be religious. There's no mercy there. They've got all of this other stuff lined right up and it looks just like everybody else, but there's one big old thing missing. Walking humbly with God and having mercy. We can use these verses and say, yeah, I'm doing the law. I'm a doer. I'm dressed just right. I say everything just right. I hold my Bible up just right. I do everything just right. I'm a doer. But that's not the doer that he's looking for. That's religion. If anyone thinks himself to be religious and yet does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, In other words, they comfort themselves in, I'm obeying God. They're deceiving their own heart. This man's religion is worthless. Pure religion and undefiled in the sight of our God and Father is this. Here's another. Just big old ringer here. But it's preambled with pure and undefiled religion in the sight of God is this. Just like the other verse in Micah, and there's several of them scattered out through the Bible. And he just said, be a hearer. And we pat ourselves on the back because we're keeping the law. We're keeping the New Testament law. We're keeping the church's law. Pure and undefiled religion, it says, in the sight of our God and Father, it says, to visit orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained from the world. You know, we think, well, I don't want to, you know, look like the world. There's nothing more worldly than trying to have a dominance or a power over someone else. There's nothing more worldly than to have justice without mercy than anyone else. And that's what he's talking about. There's nothing more worldly than those things. You know, it's not talking about, well, I don't know, whatever they call worldly. Not dressing like them is worldly. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about your attitude towards other people. You think you're up here and they're down there because you're different color, different religion, different, all these different things. Well, that's worldly. Oh, they don't do just like I do. They don't listen to me. They don't think that I'm special because I'm holy. It's all the same worldly garbage. That's the worldliness we need to get a hold of. Love, mercy. Do justly. And to walk humbly with your God. You know, you'd think, being this simple, that everybody just did. But they don't. It's too easy to cover it up with religion, cover it up with whatever, just drown it out. But it's right there. Whosoever will. May the Lord add his blessings. Anyone have anything you'd like to share? Well, Lord willing, we will meet back here at 6 o'clock this evening. God bless you all. Part in peace.